Welcome to Roguecast, the official podcast of Rogues Gallery. We'll talk comics for the week, as well as whatever news is on our pop cultural radar. I'm Randy.
I'm Nick.
This is Dave.
And now, on with the show. All right, we're back, and I don't have anything clever for the intro.
You know, it's cool.
What?
It's now officially fall.
No, it's not.
It is. It's fall in all but name.
It's August.
Is this by some weird astrological thing?
I've got an argument. Oh, Sit your asses down.
I'll hear your argument.
Southern lawyer in the house.
Foghorn Leghorn?
First of all, take note. Everything is follows its own metrics because we're in Texas. Now, highs this week in low 90s or upper 80s, that is practically fall. Rain, multiple days of the week. Spirit Halloween has opened up.
Don't they call this fake fall? Isn't that what it is?
You know,
certain persons may use that terminology, but it is not acceptable in this courtroom.
Fake fall leads to seventh summer.
Your Honor, ask that his comments be stricken from the record.
You know what? Southern lawyer Dave has convinced me that it actually is fall.
It's Texas fall.
I have a question. Can you buy a pumpkin?
I don't know.
I don't think you can buy a pumpkin right now.
That's not.
You can buy pumpkin spice lattes, though.
That's right.
We've got an in.
Has Starbucks started
their pumpkin?
Yeah, they're starting earlier this year, I believe.
Oh. I actually saw there's some article that said there's some specific reason, and maybe it's just retailer type stuff. You know, just get a buck a little bit earlier off the fall or the Halloween whores like myself. I saw there's an article that's like, here's why fall and Halloween stuff is starting early this year.
Wow, yeah.
But I didn't read it.
Well, my question is, why don't they just have it year-round? Just say screw it.
When it's 20 degrees out, it's not Halloween.
This is the same
argument. When it's 100 degrees out, it's not Halloween.
The same argument I have for McDonald's. Have the McRib on your damn menu the entire time.
Thursday, August 22nd, the fall menu returned. I guess it's another piece in the Southern Lawyer's arsenal.
Conspiracy?
Yeah. What fall menu?
Starbucks.
Oh, okay.
Also includes the new iced apple crisp non-dairy cream chai.
Now, see, what I think the deal is this is speaking only for my Southern lawyer self, is I'm trying to summon fall. If I do enough fall things, then fall will have to happen.
I have bad news for you, Dave.
Look, it's 10 degrees lower than it was last week.
I'm working against you in all ways because I do not want fall.
Son of a bitch.
I want Halloween. I don't want fall.
I believe there's supposed to be rain, too, so you may have some...
I definitely don't want rain. There was rain last night.
I'll just laugh.
There was rain this morning, this afternoon. Apparently, all right, now, Friday.
We're going to start losing viewers, because they're going to be like, they literally talk about weather for...
People come for weather updates.
10 minutes.
Everybody likes weather.
That's why there's weather on every news today. We're going to do sports, too.
Did y'all go and watch... Is this what happens when y'all watch Twister at the theater?
Yes.
Do you think that everybody was interested in weather?
Yeah.
Everybody is obsessed with weather in summer.
And now over to Nick for the sports report.
Turns out Nick hates sports. Sorry.
Back to you, Randy.
Probably should have hired a different sports caster.
No, that's right.
You know what? Nick, tell us about sports movies.
Oh, yeah, I've watched many sports movies.
So, yeah, well...
Do you have a genre you'd like?
Hockey.
Slapshot, good.
Yeah. Well, can you name a second one?
Mighty Ducks. Okay. Very good.
That's right.
All right. Good. It was a good hire.
How about
it was a good
soccer? Hire. Soccer movies.
Shaolin Soccer. Very good.
Can you name a second one?
Bend It Like Beckham.
There it is.
Bend It Like Beckham. Yeah.
All right.
Aren't you glad you turned in for our very successful newscast here?
Sports and Weather.
Can you name a table tennis movie?
I can. Balls of Fury.
That's right.
What an impressive lot we have here. With this assembled intelligence, the rest of the podcast is probably going to be awesome.
Well, you know what's like sports? Games.
Oh,
we should talk about games.
Oh, okay. Nice segue.
We don't have any new games this week. But we had a flood of games last week, so we talked about all those. So if you need more game talk, go to last week's episode.
Rewind, listen to the intro, and then come back.
Yeah. Be kind, rewind.
But
next week, Dave.
Next week is going to be a very similar, a big week for games because... The new D&D Player's Handbook is out.
That's correct.
Which I believe... Dave was saying it was 1D&D, which I think was the working title. I think they've switched off
now
to
it's just like D&D
2024.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter. But what you need to know is there's a new Player's Handbook coming out this year. There's a new Dungeon Master's Guide coming out later this year and a Monster Manual early next year.
Yep.
I know that like it is backwards compatible to 5e.
Yes.
But the when I went through like the bullet point list of some of the big changes a few months ago, it was really pretty cool stuff. Like almost all the choices, I was like, "Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, I like that."
Yeah.
And I remember we were bouncing around among our staff chat stuff, and we're like, "This all looks pretty good." Randomly, I know this is in the monster manual and not the player's handbook, but what one of the things I thought was the coolest thing is that every monster will now have an Apex version.
Yep.
So there's like going to be an Apex Green Slime, an Apex Beholder. It's some incarnation of it that is like the most badass version you can run into, and that's pretty cool. Yeah, I also want to like run it, see what like the Apex. What is the Apex Owlbear? Is it like a dire owlbear? What is going on with this guy?
He's a Titan bear.
I mean, maybe.
Titan and the Bear. And they are just calling it D&D 2024 Player's Handbook.
Yeah.
That's what they're calling
it. So it's got, they're going to incorporate a lot of stuff from Tasha's and Mordenkainen and some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Update the classes, update some races.
There's some new like core classes and core races that are going to be in this. I don't have my bullet point thing in front of me. You know what I know that they're doing that's, I think, Pathfinder had done too, is instead of having the old ability scores, it's only the modifiers that you list, so there's just simplified character sheet. It's more intuitive. You don't only have to worry about one set of numbers.
Also, they have nice fancy covers.
Yes, and we're going to get the rare variant.
Yep. Also, we have ordered things from Foam Brain, the people who do our dice. They're doing custom inspiration tokens.
Oh.
So people getting players' handbooks will be able to get custom inspiration tokens with the name of the store on them.
Oh, that's cool.
We have not seen them yet. They're supposed to be here like Thursday or Friday, but I'm not quite sure how that's going to work.
Just double check with our store name on them.
A store name. I don't know.
A store name. Well, it's not like Foam Brain Dice.
No. Our store name is on
it. It just says Warehouse on it.
Just says Warehouse 17.
It's a pretty robust... I was looking at, not bullet points,
hacked by Cameron.
It's great. A pretty robust thing. It says buff your characters 12 classes, 48 subclasses, 10 species, 75 feats, and 16 backgrounds. So,
That is pretty cool.
That is a hefty book. 400 pages.
400 pages. Yes, that's right. It is like it's a puffier size than they've done in a bit.
If you can't beat your beholder with magic, smash it with the book.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to this. I'm definitely gonna pick this up.
Yeah. It's gonna do well.
It's gonna do well.
I'd message us in some way to get your name down.
And also, especially if you want that variant cover, which is a cool kind of very golden cover with like I believe a gold dragon on it and some adventurers. You know what's interesting on the main cover, which I was like a little underwhelmed by just at a glance, but I realized that, that's like some of the D&D iconics from over the years. It had like Strongheart the Paladin and Nick that dwarf that you just got the action figure of, whatever that dude's name is.
Oh man, I can't remember.
But he's on the cover, and I was like, that's pretty cool. I know that they always want to do a little bit of a balance of classic stuff and like legacy elements, but you know, still be pushing the game forward. And it looks like they're doing a good job.
So speaking of that, I didn't notice, we talked about this last week, we've got those D&D 50th anniversary minis.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that there's like the rogue from the cartoon is one of the minis. So I wonder if all the D&D,
who was the rogue from the cartoon?
The girl with the little cloak that she would put up.
Yeah, Sheila. Call her by her name. Randy, respect her.
I don't know her name.
Randy didn't watch the cartoon.
I know Uni. I watched the cartoon.
Now, wait. And you know, those characters showed up in, like, their last starter set.
Uni's like a full-on unicorn.
Yeah, so
By the way, that character, I looked at some preview art for the D&D 2024 edition, and there was, like, a nice bit of painted art showing her cloaking up in there. Maybe that's under the entry for, like, Invisible Cloak or something like that.
Well, they're canonically in the Forgotten Realms now, right? Because
they're all old. They've aged up.
Yeah.
And there was another, like a full-on unicorn.
There was another, piece of art that showed them as adults.
That's kind of cool. That's a good idea.
Isn't Hank the Barbarian?
It's a particular inn, I suppose, if you want to do a story about people from the real world in there who might meet up with these other people, and you'd be like, oh, wow, can I look forward to getting home? And they're like, no. Not really.
You're stuck here.
No, man.
Venger will be on your ass for the next 20 years.
So that mean Venger is somewhere in the... in this book?
Venger should be. That'd be cool.
I think I saw him on something coming up. Huh? That there was going to be a bunch of iconic villains, or did that book already come out? There was going to be a bunch of iconic villains, and maybe he was going to be one of them.
Maybe he'll show up in the Monster Manual.
Maybe so.
All right. That's all the games we have to talk about, so let's talk about comics. There are, in fact, quite a few comics this week.
It's a pretty big week.
It's a pretty big week. Let's talk about start with Aliens versus Avengers, a thing that we've been sort of advocating for ever since Marvel had the license.
Yeah, and they took their sweet time.
They sure did.
Sure. Let's see, what have they... With Predator, they've done a Predator v. Wolverine and Black Panther,
which came out last week. This is Aliens versus Avengers. This takes place in the future.
Yep. And it's got quite the all-star team on it.
It does.
The big name is Jonathan Hickman, who, like, what is his best-known stuff? He's doing Ultimate Spider-Man right
Krakoa.
Now. He did Krakoa for the X-Men, all of that, set it up. And he's doing Ultimate Spider-Man right now.
Yep.
He did World, he's done East of West, and...
Yep.
He's
Manhattan Projects, he did...
He did a big long run of Avengers, too. He has basically tackled a lot of the big Marvel stuff. And FF.
And he did the Secret Wars miniseries that was the kind of thematic follow-up to the original Secret
Wars. Apparently he is also an Alien fan.
Yep. Well, maybe he's just a Money fan, I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible.
Anyway, the artwork is by Asad Rabiq.
He's doing a painted style, and he has always been a talented artist.
Anyone remembers the Loki miniseries from years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
We talked that up a number of times here and said it should be in print.
Yep, that is the one that I reckon.
I don't want to give too much away about this, except to say, it feels a little apocalyptic. It is
apocalyptic.
It is the aliens on Earth versus the Avengers.
Yeah.
Like I say, it is in the future.
Yeah, and in some ways, things have already kind of hit some very bad runs.
Yep.
There's some interesting players in it. There's what looks like a Shi'ar thing early on. That's where everything is not quite what it seems. Some of the players that you'll see in this first issue would include Black Panther, the Hulk, Apocalypse, interestingly.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Yep.
Captain Marvel, Miles.
And Valeria.
Yes. I quite liked it.
I did, too.
And there's, I guess a few Hickman interpretations of alien lore to kind of suggest why it would be particularly hard for even with all the big powers of the Marvel Universe for them to just stop them. And kind of part of it is the way that the aliens kind of get to Earth and how things unfold. They tell you kind of why it's as bad as it is.
Well, I want to say why I really enjoyed this is because it's doing something different with the property. I mean, we've known that things can kind of go cataclysmic with the alien xenomorphs, but the movies rarely show it except for in a confined area.
I've actually always been slightly confused why they didn't, because the special effects are up for it.
Right.
You know, you could do the Earth takeover thing.
But it's always on a space station or a transport ship or a mining ship. Yep. We've never seen
part of it...
Other than in the actual Dark Horse comics,
right,
which they did.
And I think part of it is that they recognize that one of the things people like about aliens is a small group going up against them.
Yeah.
That's exciting. But I suppose when you've got a small group of Avengers is so powerful that the playground of the Earth makes more sense there.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this first issue. I thought it hit some high highs for me, and I thought Ribic's artwork was quite striking.
Yeah, and there's some good cliffhanger stuff
that happens
at the end. And one very, very cool surprise.
Yes.
How long is this running, Randy? Do you know?
Six issues,
is it six? I was going to say four. It is going to be bi-monthly, so it is going to be, there'll be some space between. Good to know that going in.
And it is a little puffy. It is a little bit bigger than a normal.
It's like a big event series, though.
Nick, you made it that sort of sound bad. Like,
no,
puffy,
no,
it's think, like an extra sized issue.
Yeah, no, it's a biggie size.
You get extra face hugging.
It's true.
That sounds more pleasant than it actually is, Dave. Who wants a face hug?
You don't know. You've never been face hugged.
You don't know that. Okay. It is a big week for the X-Men relaunch.
Yep.
No number ones, but issue number two of X-Force, issue number two of NYX, and issue number three of X-Men.
Yep.
All of which I think we all like to one degree or another.
Stuff to recommend in all of those things.
My personal favorite of those was X-Men number three. Dave, I think you maybe would say...
I would maybe go with NYX, but I also liked the latest X-Men.
Nick, you want to claim X-Force 2 as your favorite, so we have all of them are favorite?
I can, because I liked it.
I did too.
I want to say I liked them all pretty much the same.
Okay.
Except for I liked
what
X-Men...
What a fence-sitter.
I know, right? I like X-Men 3 better than X-Men 2, because doing things a little bit better.
I think we all agree on that.
I think X-Men 3 was really good.
Villain reveal, I think, in NYX 2.
There is.
Yep.
And, but yes, X-Men, there is some action in this.
Yeah.
There are some cool ideas.
There's also a Cyclops. Cyclops is fairly interesting as, what's his name, writes him, Jed McKay.
Yeah.
And I liked his convo with that FBI dude. Oh, one of the characters who we know the least about, what is it, Temper?
Yep. Yeah.
She got like
spotlight here.
Yeah, she actually like hung out with Magneto a little bit, and you kind of got to. If you don't know what her deal is, you will by the end of this.
Also, a little thing, but I'm deeply amused. The Beast answers the phone. Ahoy, ahoy!
Yes. Am I correct that that's what Thomas Edison or whatever
that was
wanted?
What he wanted as the original? Yes, Alexander Graham Bell. He wanted that as the original thing.
I believe and, used once on Simpsons by Martin Prince.
No, Mr. Burns does it all the time. Because that's the joke is he's so old.
He's so ancient.
He was around when the phone was invented.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Yeah. Ahoy, ahoy. So that cracked me up. It felt very, very Beast.
Sometimes that is going to actually take over. The only problem is no subsequent generation like to use their phones anymore for talking.
If you want to text anyone in 2027, you're going to have to text them ahoy, ahoy first.
Except that people don't like to write out that whole thing, so it's just going to be...
A-H. Anyway, that's our prediction of the future. There is Phases of the Moon Knight number one. This is a new anthology book focusing on... Well, in this issue, one of them is focusing on the Shroud becoming Moon Knight.
Yep.
And the other one is a story of the Moon Knight of the Crusades era.
So they're sort of taking a page out of Brubaker and Fraction's...
Immortal Iron Fist.
Doing conshoes throughout the years.
And I mean... McKay has already introduced the idea that there were a bunch of Moon Knights.
Yeah, but that was the first we'd ever seen of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's an interesting idea.
I will say it's, I guess, three is a trend, so I don't know if it's a trend quite, but Apocalypse makes an appearance in this book as well.
Yep, interesting.
So I don't know if he's anywhere else. Is he in Superman vs. Muhammad Ali somewhere? He's in the crowd, right?
Would you go ahead and, people are going to be like, what did you just say?
I'll get to it.
Oh, well,
it's a preview.
What a tease you
are,
Andy.
It's a preview. All right, we're sticking with Marvel. Because Marvel also has Chasm, Curse of Kane.
This was a fun first issue.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and I had, I'm going to say, less than zero expectations. because I don't particularly care about Ben Reilly or Kane or any of the Spider-Man clones. And in fact, when I flipped through it, I saw that what little I know about Ben Reilly was I was like, oh, isn't he kind of like Peter Parker-esque, but he kind of struggles more and he goes through rougher patches. But then I'm like, oh, he's like an outlaw in this. He had something happen where his mind got wiped, and he, in coming back, he's kind of become this outlaw, and his girlfriend, Hallow's Eve, is clearly down with that.
Yep. Well, he was stuck in limbo and then given abilities by Madeline Pryor.
Yep.
And then, like, I did not realize that his personality was... basically removed by the Beyond Corporation.
Yep.
So he is kind of a more badass, rule-breaking Spider-Man.
Poor Ben Reilly fans, man. They've been through it.
Yeah.
They've been through it. But here's the thing. Is like, I liked how... First of all, this is something different. Like we were talking about with Aliens. And there's kind of... what I sort of liked about the structure of this is that it follows two clones. You have Ben Reilly as Chasm, who is, like, essentially on an outlaw career path. And definitely, like, living just for himself, dangerous and kind of violent. And then there's Kane as the Scarlet Spider, yep. who's trying to do right by him, kind of sees him as a wayward brother,
yep.
I think. And there's this thing unfolding in the, like, in the sewers with, I guess it's, like, Vermin and a bunch of other rat men and stuff like that, if people know who Vermin is. And both end up involved in it, and there's kind of a cool little mystery going
People
on.
Know who Vermin is? Dave Vermin is a great character. Everybody there.
Listen,
you don't know the Vermin fans, the Vermin stands.
Vermin is in one of the best known Spider-Man stories of all time. He is in Kraven's Last Hunt.
Yep,
and he's creepy and scary.
Yeah,
and Mike Zeck drew him, so you know.
Also, Sexy Ratman is a thing now, so Berman, it's maybe his time to shine. He could be on the Bear season 4.
Nick, do you know about the Ratman thing?
I don't think I do.
It's you'll find it in like sort of trend fashion.
Jeremy
stuff.
Allen White of the Bear is one of them. There's a sort of like the thing of the Sexy Ratman.
Lean faced guys with kind of quirky good looks.
I'm just saying it's Berman's time to shine.
Interesting. Good point, Randy. Thank you for that addition to the convo.
This also features another underground villain.
You're right. That was interesting. And a very sort of big, powerful villain.
Yeah.
It's weird. None of these things should work for me, by the way.
Yeah,
I think that's a fairly absurd list of things. But I just kind of like the writing, and I like the dynamic of this struggling anti-hero and somebody trying to redeem him. It's actually all kind of cool.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and you know what? The Chasm costume is cool.
The Chasm costume is good. And actually, I like the Kane Scarlet Spider costume, too. They're all good costumes. They're no hoodie costume like Ben Reilly used to have. But
I mean, that's the thing is, like, I do feel bad for people who are, like, because that is a good look.
Yeah.
Even though it's very 90s, it's still a good look.
It is.
And Ben was not supposed to be sort of edgy Spider-Man originally. He was supposed to be sort of classic Spider-Man.
Right, yeah, no, I get all the why this has gone a little bit wayward. I can only say I just like it as it is.
Yeah.
And but I do kind of hope that maybe in the end he could end up restored.
Rob Liefeld's got a new book from Marvel. He's claiming his last one. Deadpool Team-Up.
God, he always claims that.
Yes, he always does. It features his co-creation, Deadpool. I say that specifically because I know it would bother Rob Liefeld if he ever heard it. But Fabian Nicieza and Joe Kelly deserve as much credit for creating that character as Rob Liefeld does drawing his knockoff. And Major X, his character no one cares about.
It's true.
Along with Wolverine, Hulk, Spider-Gwen, and Crystar.
Yes, I'm excited at the possibility of a Crystar revival. It could be the one thing I'll give Liefeld credit for if it happens. But yeah, as it stands, it's, I think, just going to be like another quirky dude that Deadpool teams up with.
Look, you know if you like Liefeld or not.
And if you did, well, you're going to have to punch Randy.
Is Crystar involved in Weird World?
No.
Okay. Weird World was its own thing that was like a Marvel prestige format, like it was an epic thing. But I believe because of the events of Secret Wars, Hickman's thing, it is their catch-all fantasy realm.
Yes.
Like, I believe it's an amalgamation of various worlds. So Crystar's world, which I believe is like Crystallium or something like that.
That's correct.
I think is merged with it.
Okay.
So, yeah, whatever.
Berserker has another... This is a one-shot, right?
It is a one-shot.
And this is Matt Kent, Keanu Reeves. This is the original creative team.
Yeah, and Ron
Garney.
Yep, coming back to do
The Lost Book of B.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I mean, he's been alive for thousands of years at this
point. The cover
point,
so looks like it's some kind of, like, Attila the Hun sort of looking dude.
Yeah, it does. They were doing basically B through the ages.
Yeah. But yeah, this is the original creative team back for another one-shot, so... Yeah.
So I always think of Berserker, the original B-Boy.
It's true.
And I can't wait for Keanu to play that.
And we have I Lie Popeye. Now, you may not be super excited to hear about a Popeye book, but we liked the preview of this at Free Comic Book Day. It's really interesting art.
Yeah, I like the art on it quite a bit. And I don't know. Yes, it does have the thing that I remember from Free Comic Book Day, which is there is a dude who is clearly like an analog to Goku. And it's like Ultimate Fighter Popeye versus Ultimate Fighter Goku, and like Goku's all charging up, and like Popeye's like winding up for like some kind of atomic punch or whatever, and it's fun looking.
Yeah, we have the Cursed Library. This is a Archie, their sort of supernatural universe, I think.
They're still doing stuff.
Doing some new stuff. This is like a crossover kind of thing.
Okay,
On the complete opposite end of the spectrum. We have Sesame Street, new Sesame Street comic from Oni Press. I think this might be the first like Sesame Street comic book.
It's possible. I bet there was something in the 70s, perhaps.
It might have been.
But yes, when I was making the sign for it, I looked like each issue was going to spotlight a different dude. So this one is Grover.
Grover.
Next one is going to be Bert and Ernie. Somewhere in there, I suspect Elmo might take over.
Elmo running the show now.
There's a new image book called Convert. By John Arcudi, a new artist to me, Savannah Finley. I'm not sure where.
Super good art.
Really beautiful. It's sort of an astronaut exploration, survival kind of book.
I like the first issue. Yeah. It's a guy who's like in a sort of unnamed future, you know, that could be a few hundred years in the future. Gets trapped on an alien world and is having a hell of a time surviving. And there's one or two notable developments that happen as you get to the end of the first issue. That are pretty cool. So, yeah, I recommend it. Arcudi did a lot of Hellboy stuff, right?
Yeah, he did.
BPRD.
Yeah, he did a lot of BPRD.
Yeah, I suspect that the artist he's working with is probably one of those good artists who had worked on Hellboy.
Got a pair of books from Good Trouble Comics, one called Recognize, that is a story of the, it's the unsung heroes in LGBTQ+ history. And their legacy today.
Oh, right, because that's Stonewall on the cover, isn't it?
Yep. And then Register, which is about young students and the high school students delving into the complex and surprising history of our right to vote.
Good Trouble is the famous phrase used by the... Who's the civil rights
John
guy?
Lewis.
John Lewis. That's a cool name for a company. Yep. It's basically the idea being when you practice civil disobedience in the form of like...
good trouble.
Going on strike or, marching against injustice or something like that. That's good. That's the good trouble. That's putting yourself a little bit at risk, raising a bit of a ruckus for a good cause. I like these and might be interesting, especially for like teachers or just people who want to put a little bit of history and knowledge in front of their kids along with Wolverine stabbing people.
I don't know if y'all know, but there's some anniversaries going on this week.
There's
the 85th anniversary of Marvel, so there's a special for that that has a new Excalibur story by Alan Davis, a Miss Marvel story by the creative team that's been doing the Miss Marvel books, including Iman Vellani, a Spider-Man story, a really cool-looking anime kind of story with Moon Knight and some other characters that is by, it's called The Moon Warrior, by Yuji Koko, I'm not sure I know that. A Contest of Champions by Steve Scroach, you may know as the designer of The Matrix.
Yep.
And then a Spider-Man story by Priest and Carlo Pagulayan.
Yep.
Probably mispronounced that. Anyway, a bunch of cool sort of Marvel anniversary stories of different styles, different sort of classic characters.
I believe the framing device is like a museum in the far-flung future.
Yes.
Where they're like various objects in it call back memories of this big heroic age.
Yeah, and I believe these aliens don't quite know because they're saying, and actually it's being toured by Wolverine and Deadpool's head because they're still alive. And the alien is like, this is Miss Marvel's actual scarf. A scarf was an early utility garment used both to preserve neck heat and to eat off of. Hence the expression, scarf down your food, still with us today.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, as Jed McKay wrote the wrote the framing sequence, I think. It's Ryan North.
This calls to mind Deadpool's gag in Deadpool versus Wolverine about how Hugh Jackman is going to be stuck playing this thing until he's 90.
Yep. Dave, you're constantly quoting Deadpool versus Wolverine.
As Deadpool fan number one, I like to evoke it.
Sorry, choked a little bit.
We made Nick die. Let me just put it this way, Randy. This is my time to shine.
You're gonna make a name for yourself here.
I'm gonna make my name for myself.
I did see apparently, by the way, that there is a deleted scene or a thing that's gonna put out on DVD or whatever showing that Gambit survived.
Yep.
So
pretty clever.
And what's his name? Jane Tatum. He said it's like it's in Kevin Feige's hands now. He's like, I pray to God they'll let me do Gambit again.
That's fun.
That's funny.
I can see him do it.
We'll see.
Here's the thing is like I don't think he is the ideal person to play him, but like he should like if they gave him like a solo movie that was just like his weird side story thing.
He was given so passionate about it.
Given how successful Deadpool vs. Wolverine was, I would not be surprised if they do a Deadpool 4 and it's like Deadpool and Gambit.
Yeah,
like that. That would be the way to do it. That way I can go and still pretend they're not in the MCU.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
I would like to be able to delay that as long as possible. There's the 30th anniversary of Zero Hour, which was one of DC's sort of crisis events that remade the universe. The big one with this is that Hal Jordan, this is where he went full evil.
Right, he had parallaxed up and was trying to like change the timeline and stuff.
This anniversary special focuses on Kyle Rayner and it seems to take place in sort of an alternate 90s. It's got a lot of the 90s characters, including the Fatal Five, who were, you know, Legion villains.
Yeah, I see Jack Knight on the back of it.
Jack Knight from Starman.
Oh, wow.
Wave Rider, a Supergirl who became Superman using, the black and silver costume after Superman didn't return from death.
Basically, they got, a lot of the, I think, the creators of the era, and especially maybe of the Zero Hour stuff.
Isn't it Ron Mars and Dan Jurgens?
It is, yeah.
But also, to revisit them.
Like, Batgirl is taken over because Batman had his back broken. Donna Troy is Wonder Woman. So, they're doing a little bit of, legacy stuff, too.
Yeah, cool.
So, kind of some fun stuff. I don't know, it's the 40th anniversary of Transformers number one.
Okay.
So, we have a replica of the Marvel's Transformers number one.
Can't say I'm a huge fan of seeing a comic that I read as a kid and hearing it's the 40th anniversary.
I'm sorry to tell you, Dave, that you're very old.
Well, what can Optimus Prime do to help with that?
He can open the Matrix of Leadership and melt your face off.
Yes.
He can't make you younger, but he can kill you.
Saying face a face-melting concert is what I'm understanding?
Yes. Optimus Prime opens his chest, and out comes blaring rock music. And it's You Got the Touch by Stan Bush.
I'm not wrong. This is Sienkiewicz doing the cover.
The cover, right? Yeah.
He did a number of their licensed product ones. I believe he also did, just for the record, Star Ears.
Good call. Good catch.
That one did not take off as big as Transformers.
I don't know what anniversary this is. I think this is just a replica, but they did make a replica of Muhammad Ali, Superman versus Muhammad Ali. I told you we'd come back to it.
Now that it's here, I don't really care.
Okay, moving on. No,
now, it's the treasury size, I believe,
gigantic.
Right?
It's gigantic.
Right? For those old enough to know what Life magazine was like, it's that big. If you don't know what Life magazine was like, it's like if you took four comics and put them together.
Yeah. Well, they just did the Batman Treasury Edition,
right?
The original a while blue back. One.
Yeah, yeah. This is just looks just as beautiful as that one because Neil Adams drew both of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this one in particular, was a famous kind of big pop culture crossover.
Yeah.
The very short version, because which I only recently learned because I have not actually read this, is that. Aliens are going to attack Earth, but they want to face the Earth's champion first. Ali, with all his bravado, is like, I'm the champion.
Yep.
And Superman is like, maybe it should be me. and the aliens are like, well, you two champions fight, and whichever wins that gets to fight us.
And you might be saying, well, isn't Superman just going to punch Muhammad Ali's head off?
But they go to a planet under a red sun. So Superman is like at normal levels, and it's they got to face off. And then, of course, you might be shocked to learn that they, in some way, managed to team up against the aliens. So it's Ali and Superman versus aliens.
There is a somewhat potentially problematic bit in here, in which Superman poses as Muhammad Ali. But it is a mask. He doesn't do blackface. He's wearing a full-on mask.
Okay.
But I was like, I don't know if that's okay.
Clark, we're watching you.
Anyway, this was surprisingly fun. It is very old school.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really fun.
You know, the cover alone is kind of historic, the bit that's wrapped around.
Yeah.
Because, like, every person in the audience is either some famous person who was,
right.
like, a celebrity in the 70s.
Right.
Or a member of, like, DC's bullpen. So, like, even, like I saw Walt Simonson is one of the caricature people in the audience, just because he was at DC. But there's, like, Jimmy Carter, and, like, the Beatles are in there.
There is on the inside cover, there is a rundown of everybody who's on the
cover. They do the breakdown?
Yeah. But I also saw a couple of DC heroes in there. I see Elongated Man in the Batman, Lois, Jimmy.
If you want to see Neil Adams, who's did some of the best the original Batman versus Ra's al Ghul and like some of those famous Batman stories ever, drawing Superman and Muhammad Ali boxing. Well, brother, it's here.
It's pretty good. I liked it. Also worth mentioning that in terms of reprints, that they reprinted all of Blood Hunt Red Band.
Yep.
So if you missed any of them, or if you want to get all five, the trade paperback is going to be the standard edition.
Right.
We don't know when or if they're going to reprint the Red Band. So if you want the extra bloody versions, this is your last chance. We do have all five issues. We got the second issue of Hello Darkness. That's the horror anthology that Boom does. Latest issue of Batman Dark Age. And the second issue of the new Saga story arc. Issue of Fantastic Four, the issue leads right into issue 25. It's another big high-concept sci-fi issue.
Yep.
And then the first issue of Universal Monsters Frankenstein from Skybound. This is their follow-up. They had done, Creature of Black Lagoon and Dracula. And this is their Frankenstein. And I thought, did y'all read this one?
Yeah, I have to admit, it has a kind of a cool hook to it.
Yeah.
The hook being that each issue will explore the intersection of like Dr. Frankenstein and stuff and the life of whatever body part that is featured in it. So this is a random example. There's a kid who's mourning the death of his dad who was like a cop, and he hides when they come out to the graveyard and they dig up his dad, the cop, because they're and they end up being like, yeah, these arms or hands are good. So the kid like sneaks back and he follows them all the way to the castle, and he's kind of, what follows is him trying to figure out what to do about that. Is there any real connection to his father in the creature that they resurrect? Is it, just the hands? Can he escape with his life? All these kind of things. But it's an interesting idea. Who knows what's happening next month? The torso? I don't know.
There's a bunch of trades this week worth mentioning. Avengers Twilight, which is the Chip Zdarsky sort of Dark Knight Returns of Avengers, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers of Moon Knight gets its first trade. A reprint of Death at Death's Door, a sort of manga-esque take on Death by Jill Thompson.
Yeah, kind of a little chibi, cute Death story.
A full adaptation of My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah, I believe that's one of those sort of photo comic style.
Yeah, yeah. And the Dungeons & Dragons cocktail book, Punchins and Flagons.
Yeah.
Which fits nicely in with the cookbook that we
carry. Somebody make us some Dungeons & Dragons alcoholic beverages and bring them by so we can get trashed during the day.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about some trailers. All right, so we watched a few trailers. Before we get to that, though, I have a news bit from last week that I forgot about that y'all will probably want to talk about. Crawl 2 is coming.
Crawl 2, finally a sequel to the...
Crawl 2, not
Crawl. At last, the Glaive is back.
I'm so sorry.
The Cyclops is back.
I'm so sorry.
The Slayers are back.
I'm so sorry. The Cyclops is still dead.
Wait, I'm sorry, did you say Crawl 2?
I said Crawl 2.
Yes, Crawl.
Yes. Crawl, for people who do not remember, was that put out, by the way, by Blumhouse, I think?
I think they were involved in it, yes.
But it was a creature feature, which is a kind of a rarity, which I thought was a neat plot. There's a hurricane that is smashing up against a town. A daughter goes back to check on her dad, who's kind of getting older and maybe has some senility, and she's a little worried he didn't evacuate. And she indeed finds him.
Humility. He went through a divorce and he doesn't want to leave his house.
I thought he had some issues.
No.
Okay. It doesn't really matter why she's there. Why'd you interrupt the story, Nick? She goes back and she finds him down in the basement. He's injured. The basement is half flooded, and there is a giant ass alligator.
Alligator.
That is loose in there, and that's the rest of the movie is. Them stuck down there with it, trying to figure out a way out of this sort of labyrinthine, pipe-strewn, big, house-wide basement area to get to away from it, get to the surface. There are still some interesting twists as it goes along, even after it seems like they might have gotten out. Things are slowly flooding. It's directed by the guy who did the remake of
Hills Have Eyes.
And I can't remember what his other
I feel Alexander like Aja or
yeah, I feel like he's got one other big one, but this was like I think a sort of a surprise, one of those horror movies that did
it was
surprisingly
one of those,
well.
You went in not expecting anything and came out with something that was pretty entertaining,
yes,
to say the least.
It is a good, it's a good watch that delivers what you hope it would, I think we both liked it, Nick.
Yeah.
And I would immediately be down for a second one. Same director?
Same director. He's coming back. Same producers. So it definitely. I was looking to see what his other thing.
He is a guy who is not afraid to get violent and do the hard R in his R-rated movies. But at the same time, this wasn't like grim dark or anything like that. It was a fun creature movie. Only a handful of times did I say. That alligator looks a little too CG. Most of the time, it was actually very well done. So, when is this coming out?
I don't know.
It just got announced, so they haven't even started filming.
Well, I'm for it.
All right.
I am too.
I'm also for Crawl 2 whenever that happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get right on top of that.
Yeah, just let me know when it hits, Randy.
Oh, I know. All right. The trailers, it's a bunch of animation and video games this week.
Yes.
I think none of us were wild about any of them.
I think that's true, although I have some certain hopes here and there, so let's go through them.
Well, I know, Dave, that you're a big Sonic fan.
About some of the other ones. I have hopes about some of the other ones.
So they dropped the trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog 3, and I think we all kind of gawped at this in wide-eyed wonder that this exists.
But you know
two
what?
Other movies and a Paramount Plus TV show exist.
Knuckles. There's a Knuckles TV show on Paramount Plus voiced by Idris Elba.
Yeah.
That is a real thing that happened.
And this
from what
time,
I've heard, it's pretty good.
Shadow, who is he a hedgehog too?
He is isn't he like a clone of Sonic somehow?
I believe some. I don't know.
He's a dark Sonic.
Looks like he can teleport instead of being super speedy.
He's voiced by Keanu Reeves.
He is indeed. Voiced.
And you know, I can tell these are pretty well-made movies for the fans, and it seems like the fans are pretty hyped for them.
They are. In watching this, this felt to me like what Fast and Furious trailers used to feel like to me. Complete
yes.
and utter nonsense with a, wow, that guy's in this? That is how I would describe Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
It seems clear that Shadow is so dangerous that they have to bring in Dr. Robotnik, who's let himself get fat, or something to help them out. And then even Dr. Robotnik has to pull in a special assist as well.
Yes.
It seemed ridiculous, but it probably ridiculous in the right way,
yeah.
I would say, for the fans. I guess I'd say I somewhat wish the Sonic movies well. I'm not going to be watching them, but, you know, good luck to you, Sonic. I think it's going to probably do insane gangbusters.
You say that, Dave, but when Sonic 5 hits and it's a big heist movie, you're going to jump on board and make me watch all of them.
You at this table have seen more Sonic movies than Dave and I.
That
together.
Is correct.
Right. That makes you the biggest Sonic fan in the room.
That is true, but I saw you break on Deadpool vs. Wolverine, so no, anything's possible.
Let me ask you this. Who here has played Sonic games?
I played a little bit.
I mean, yeah, back in the day I played a few levels of a couple of them.
I think I once played one for like about half an hour. I don't even know if I really could say I got through multiple levels. Maybe a level or two.
Yep.
That's it. That's
I was never a big Sega fan, so I had a Game Gear for about 6 months.
I had a Genesis, so I did play Sonic or Sonic 2 or one of them. I don't remember much of it. It was very fast.
When you watch this trailer, Andy, are you like, I was there?
No.
I was there when this went down. This trailer, I grabbed that ring.
Nope. I watched this in befuddlement. The same way I do. Like, we know Sonic's popular. We sell Sonic like crazy here.
Yes.
But I think none of us really cross over into the Sonic fandom.
Yeah.
There were no golden rings in this trailer, so I
there were some in the Paramount. There were the Paramount logo.
There was a ring, yeah.
But not in the actual movie, just in the logo.
Right. Because this is Grimdark, Nick. They've run up against Shadow, and Shadow...
No,
the stakes are higher.
I bet there's rings in this one.
Oh, probably so.
But we don't want to give away the rings in the trailer, Nick. We don't want to give away all the good stuff.
That's right. You gotta go back and try and get 100% completion later.
Right. All right.
Speaking of rings?
We got the trailer for Lord of the Rings, War of the Rohirrim.
Rohirrim
trailer.
Dumbass.
I don't know shit about elves.
So I think out of the trailers that we watched, this one is the most interesting to me.
Okay.
I thought it looked interesting. It doesn't seem to be a story that is within, like, Tolkien's lore.
It seems made up.
I assumed that this was at least based on one of those things that was, like, you know, one of the appendices in his books. Like,
it's possible.
But
this is directed by Kenji Kamiyama, who not only is he a pretty big name in anime... circles. He's the guy who did Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex.
Okay, right.
And various versions of Ghost in the Shell. He also did Blade Runner Black Lotus and a couple of Star Wars Visions and a few other things. He's a big guy. He's been around. He did backgrounds for Akira.
Okay.
So he's definitely a name.
These are like the Riders of Rohan people, right?
Yes, these are the Riders.
So they're masters of the horses, and they kind of look like a little Viking-ish.
And it looks like they're supposed to be an arranged marriage that's going to unite things until...
It goes sour.
The king kills the other king.
He gets to scrapping, and he gives him a kill punch.
He gives a kill punch. and then
he accidentally charged it up and did not realize what was going on.
That's true.
Yeah.
And things go bad from there. War is afoot, and you get elephants, or elephants.
Elephants, I think is what they call them there, but basically they're just super elephants.
I also saw the weird tentacle monster that lives outside Moria.
Yep, which I guess that maybe there's more of those. I forget what they...
No, it's only that one. They go over to the Moria area.
So is it actually?
I assumed. I mean, it kind of looked like
the Watcher
like
in the Water, or whatever they call it. Yeah. Maybe those things are in all lakes in Middle Earth, and that's why you just don't get a lot of lake scenes.
Yeah,
you know.
Actually, there are a fair number of, like, I guess, them in boats on lakes and stuff like that.
Those are always lurking, Dave.
But there, and always then, lurking. Yeah, there's longer versions of the movie where they're outrunning tentacle creatures
constantly.
And I'm coming with you, Frodo. Pull me up quick. There's a tentacle creature.
I'm gone.
But they always just outrun them, and they're just. And eventually, Peter Jackson was like, if they're not going to catch them, these scenes might be superfluous.
Anyway, you can't have an anime without a tentacle monster, and so it's good Lord of the Rings has one.
Yes. Now, when it catches the dwarf,
yes.
What you're going to see is not something that you have seen in a Peter Jackson movie.
That is
movie.
True. Well, depending on the Peter Jackson movie, he's made some scary movies.
That's true.
So, I don't know if I'll rush to theaters because this is hitting theaters in
release.
December. But I am going to watch this one. This one looks the most interesting.
I believe I probably will not watch this one.
Well, you don't like fantasy.
I don't.
I felt like it was a little too sort of samey of stuff I've seen, you know? They're like, I don't know. It's kind of medieval stuff, like I don't want to marry him, and though their attacking force is bigger than ours and stuff like that. Sorry, Dave, you can feel...
You'll be surprised to learn that happens in modern day, too.
Listen, I need to see more than that in the trailer. I suspect if I saw, like, a longer scene, I might get interested in it, because I'm a pretty easy mark for Lord of the Rings, but right at the moment, it doesn't have me yet. Maybe trailer 2 can do it.
Usually giant were-elephants will get me, but not this time.
I mean, well, I know it got
like,
you.
You like a Guy live Ritchie's action CGI.
Yes.
You don't like anime.
I don't like anime.
Randy does like Guy Ritchie war elephants.
Yeah, they were if they were war elephants and they were calling people the C word, I'd be all about it.
God, that sucked.
What was that movie called?
King Arthur.
King Arthur. Just yeah. That movie. Not like Oi Gov, it's me, King Offa.
Oi Gov, it's me, War Elephant.
That is the worst Guy Ritchie film ever.
You know, Nick, you may find it grows on you.
Nope. Also, you may find there are worse Guy Ritchie movies, trust me. I watched all of Guy Ritchie's filmography.
The only one
have
that
you
could be
seen
the Madonna
Swept
one?
Away?
I have. It was
Swept
not
Away is worse than King Arthur. Come on, Nick.
I don't know.
Folks, Swept Away is worse than King Arthur.
Nick, we, as always, you know, we have our list of, it's how we know the bottom of the barrel is your list of the lowest of the low. You need to see those two movies back to back and give us the final word.
I'm just
word.
Saying, I would watch Ballistic X vs. Sever before I ever watched King Arthur.
Wow. All right, moving on to the other anime. We already talked about the previous Terminator Zero trailer. This is Netflix's Terminator anime.
And kind of a befuddlement at it, because it was just basically rapid fire little, like...
Well, here's this one, and it's similar.
Right. But what this has a lot more of is Terminator hands crushing flesh.
Yes, a lot of Terminators tearing people's arms off.
Well, also, apparently it shows that we're seeing Judgment Day. We are seeing Skynet come alive, and...
I feel like I've seen Judgment Day like three or four times.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same complaint.
But not from the point of view of Lucy or whoever a character
is. Yeah.
Listen, there's some cool-looking animation. There was somebody doing some leaping around while a car went off a bridge, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
He was doing like a Matrix jump, and I was like,
that's
a
Matrix
weird.
Jump. That's probably a Terminator, but I don't know. Maybe people just in the future can just jump farther. I don't know.
There's something about the air.
Maybe one of the nukes was going off behind them, and it just launched them.
I gained super leaping powers from the nuke that went off behind me.
I couldn't tell from this one trailer, so I can only make assumptions.
I think that's a reasonable assumption, Dave. That's where I go to.
That could be Toad from X-Men.
It could be.
That's the only other person I know who can jump that well, other than Neo, so it could also be Neo.
It's either Neo or Toad versus Terminator.
I had to look up the description of the story.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I had to look up the description of the actual Terminator Zero. It says, in Japan, Malcolm Lee has been developing another AI system that is intended to compete with Skynet as Judgment Day approaches. In 1997, Lee finds himself and his three children pursued by an unknown robot assassin. That trailer did nothing to that story.
Who can kill the human race faster, Skynet or Japanese Skynet?
Well, you know.
What I can tell is that this is definitely going to deliver on that sort of, like, Invincible-style ultra-violence.
Mm-hmm.
It is clearly going to be a big part of this. And you know what? The Terminator movies haven't been that super violent for a little bit, so maybe that's something it needs, but, you know, probably not. this is one that I would watch if people tell me it's good.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
I like Terminator stuff, but it's another one of those, just like Aliens, there's really only two good movies.
Of the three trailers we talked about, I am most likely to see Sonic 3, and I'm not very likely to see that.
Though, I think the one we're about to talk about, because of a few segments in it, I might be most likely to see, but like, there's also segments that don't interest me at all.
So that is Secret Level. It's a new anthology from the people who made Death and Robots for Netflix.
Yeah.
This is an anthology focusing on various video game properties. Which include, among them, Warhammer 40K, Unreal Tournament, Pac-Man, Mega Man, God of War, Dungeons & Dragons, Armored Core.
So tabletop games included, does everything have to have
Dungeons & Dragons has had video games.
Okay.
So.
Only video games.
Okay. Yep. I thought it just said games, and games
is
a broad term.
Popular video games and franchises, so I believe it is.
And franchises.
I think it's still supposed to be the video game version.
So another word, two words in there, and franchises.
Yes, so in other words, there's a McDonald's and an Olive Garden.
They could put Smurfs in there. They could. In the next one.
As long as the franchise.
Gummy bears are nothing.
There's been a Smurf game, too. A Smurf video game.
There's probably been a McDonald's video game.
So, Warhammer 40K seems like it'd be cool. Dungeons & Dragons seems like it'd be cool.
Yep.
You say Unreal Tournament?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a game in the 1990s?
Yeah, it was a first-person shooter. It was like a
Quake killer,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's an odd callback because have they been... I know the Unreal Engine is, like, huge. Like, it's everywhere. But, like, the actual Unreal games haven't been made for decades or something?
Yeah, decades, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm not against, like, a kind of a fun, weird, nostalgic one.
When's the last Pac-Man game?
I think they do little weird app games and things like that. Maybe.
You know, Pac-Man was actually named Paku Paku, which means to eat or something.
All right,
like
Scott Pilgrim.
But I can't say I'm like super excited for any of these.
No, me neither.
I will say, What was the animated short?
Death and Robots or something. I don't know.
That one did not do great, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I never tuned into it, so I can't really say.
I watched it.
It did okay, but it was also like a big... Wasn't it a big showpiece for like their animation skills and CG and stuff?
It was beautiful, but it was not great.
Right, which is exactly what I would expect of something like that.
Anyway, we'll see what happens. This comes out in December, I guess.
Are you excited for these cartoons?
No,
and
not at all.
I ask the audience. and if not these, what would be an animated feature you would like to see? Send it to us, Russell, our one listener.
We have other listeners.
There's at least five.
Send us what you would like to see, Alice. But it can't be an anime. I know you're an anime guy. It's got to be some property that's like these are all like kind of Western franchises. They're video games, or there's an anime style, but it's Lord of the Rings.
Where's my Three's Company anime?
Yes, perfect example, Randy. where is the Mr. Furley as like one of those evil anime senseis or a pervy old man? Yeah, it really calls for it.
Yeah.
Well, that'll probably be our whole next podcast.
You'll have to tune in next week to find out. But that's it for us this week. Until next time, Yo Joe. Roguecast is a weekly podcast broadcast from Rogues Gallery Comics and Games in Round Rock, Texas. You can find us online on Facebook and at www.roguesgallerytx.com and email us comments or questions at roguesgallerytx@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.